Hi, welcome to the Heart of It. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Hart. On this show, I bring you phone interviews with experts in the fields of nutrition, alternative methods of healing, and relationships, so that you can have this information available when you make decisions about your health, heart, and home. Today our topic is corneal refractive therapy, which is a way to correct your vision while you sleep so that you do not need glasses or contact lenses during the day. To find out more about this technology, stay tuned. We'll be getting right to this interview. I just want to mention that if you do have more questions about my show or my sponsors, or if you'd like to see what other topics I've scheduled, I invite you to visit my website, which is theheartofit.com. That's heart spelled H-A-R-T, theheartofit.com. And you can write to me by emailing Linda at theheartofit.com. So today we're talking about corneal refractive therapy. And the way that I found out about this is that my daughter was 14 and her eyesight was deteriorating quickly. She reads an awful lot, and her glasses were going to have to go to a much stronger prescription so that then she would need reading glasses and distance glasses or bifocals. The optometrist suggested that I call Dr. Hutchinson, who is our guest today, to see about these contact lenses for my daughter, which would not only correct her vision during the night, but would also help keep her vision from getting worse. When we found out more about these, I got these contacts too, and I've been very happy with them, and that's why I wanted to have Dr. Hutchinson on my show to share with you more information about these, because in my daily interactions with people, I don't believe these are very well known, and I do want more people to be able to take advantage of this new technology. Dr. Hutchinson is a graduate of the University of California at Berkeley and has been in private practice for 20 years. He is a fellow of the American Academy of Optometry and a member of the American Optometric Association. His practice is in Encinitas, California. He is also the author of Computer Eye Stress and has developed Acuity Max, which is a visual acuity chart for computers. Dr. Hutchinson, welcome to The Heart of It.
Thank you for having me, Linda.
So can you tell us, what is corneal refractive therapy?
Well, that is a new name for something that has actually been in existence for quite a period of time, although in its modern version, it works much better than it did earlier. Originally, this type of therapy was called orthokeratology. And it is a method of changing the curvature of the front of the eye, the cornea, with a type of contact lens. And so corneal refractive therapy is another name for this procedure. It's also known as corneal shaping or corneal reshaping with contact lenses.
Yeah, I've heard of that before, where people would wear contacts during the day that would actually change the shape of their cornea.
Well, this builds on that. The very first types of hard contact lenses were made out of a material called polymethylmethacrylate, or they were also known as PMMA lenses, which stands for that. Wearers of this type of contact lens would have trouble getting spectacle lenses, getting glasses, after they would wear the lens, because when they would take the lens off, their cornea would be shaped differently, and they would many of them would discover that they could still see once they took their hard contact lens off for a period of time. And so in the early 60s, contact lens practitioners tried to use lenses to reshape the front of the eye and try and do it in a predictable manner.
So you're saying this is not new technology, or it is?
Well,
I'm not sure whether this is new or not now.
The current technology is certainly new. The way it has been developed and refined from the early history of what was originally called orthokeratology. And so today's corneal refractive therapy is decidedly different from what was originally done. I was giving you a little background on how it was thought of, and that came from people, from practitioners noticing that the vision would change when you would wear a contact lens, a hard contact lens. So So initially they tried to make this happen in a predictable manner, and they were not particularly successful with that. The lenses that they had at those days were not lenses that could be worn overnight either. And so with the ideal orthokeratology situation early on, people would wear a contact lens during the day for a few hours, take it off, and have a few hours of good vision. But that's really not particularly acceptable. And it took a lot of different lens types to, there'd be multiple lenses used in the fitting of this early orthokeratology. About 10, 15 years ago, though, the materials that lenses were made out of became gas permeable enough that people were able to sleep in the lens. And also around that time, a different design of the contact lens called a reverse geometry lens was developed. And this design allowed for a predictable change of the cornea that you could tell that starting with this type of lens and this amount of nearsightedness, you would be able to correct it to this amount of no correction or less correction. So about 10 to 15 years ago is when this was became really viable. Since then, there have been refinements made, and the first company to have this, the procedure itself approved by the FDA was Paragon, and they developed the name of corneal refractive therapy, or CRT. And so that is now one of a number of companies that have lenses available for this type of molding, this type of reshaping.
Is that the company you recommend, or are there other companies that you recommend?
Well, I do use lenses from Paragon, and there's another company that I use, a company by the name of iQuip, that makes a lens called Wave. I should mention, too, that part of the technology that has evolved also involves being able to measure the cornea. The early types of measurements that were used was something called keratometry, and it would measure the curvature of the cornea, but only in one circle around the center of the eye. And so you would have an idea of the curvature of the cornea, but you wouldn't have a true picture. About 10 to 15 years ago, an instrument called a topographer was developed, and this type of measurement can create actually a map of the front of the eye. Well, the company iQuip makes their lenses completely based on this map. So it's a total individual lens that is created for a person that is completely customized to that person's cornea. So those are the two lens manufacturers that I use. There are several others. Also, some are also topographer-based lenses, and others work well, I'm sure, also. But my experience is with these two companies.
Now, one of a couple of the big questions I had, I remember years ago when they started out having contact lenses that you could wear 24 hours at a time, and this is, I'm talking 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
My doctor at the time said, Linda, don't wear contacts at night because you can get infections and you're going to decrease the amount of oxygen that your eye is going to get at night. And so I'm sure that some people listening would be concerned about that just like I was. And could you speak to those risks?
Sure. The initial, the lenses that you were talking about that you'd wear for 30 days, the original 30-day lenses from years ago, those lenses were soft lenses. And they were meant, the idea of that lens was that you were to wear it continuously for a long period of time. So not just at night, but also during the day.
That's true, yeah.
So first off, this lens is really meant only to be worn at night. And so you take it off first thing in the morning. So your cornea has, during the day, complete oxygen getting to it from daytime. But the lens material that this lens is made out of is, and these, by the way, these materials that the lenses are made out of are approved by the FDA for overnight wear. So all of the companies that work with corneal refractive therapy or this corneal reshaping all use lens materials that are approved by the Federal Drug Administration for overnight wear. And these lenses are extremely gas permeable and let lots of oxygen through into the cornea so that there's no issue of not enough oxygen happening here. Studies have shown that the risk of complications with this type of lens is equivalent to the risk of complications with just regular contact lenses in general. So with a proper fitted lens, and it is important that you see that it is properly fitted, and that the practitioner, of course, is using a lens that is oxygen permeable, one of these lenses approved for overnight wear, there's very, very little risk of any serious complications.
How would a person, if they had these contacts, how would they know that there was a problem?
You'd wake up with a sore eye or a very red eye. Any kind of an indication that there's that something does not feel right is reason to go into your practitioner and have them evaluate it and make sure that everything is in fact okay, as well as having the lenses and the eye evaluated on at least an annual basis as well. Once you're doing CRT or doing corneal reshaping, you still need to have your eyes looked at every year in your eye examination to make sure that everything is staying healthy.
Is there clinical research that verifies that CRT does work?
Oh, yes. That reminds me of when I was going to optometry school at Berkeley. I was at a lecture where a optometrist who was at the time doing the early type of orthokeratology was in to speak and to do a presentation. And he was doing a presentation to individuals who, some of the professors there are very, very well respected in the contact lens community and were people who held in very high regard. And he was talking about orthokeratology, and pretty much the professors at Berkeley stood up and said, no, it doesn't work. It just, there's no way that it could work, and it doesn't. And I have to say that I took that as gospel for quite a long time, thinking that it simply didn't work. And this was the early orthokeratology. But I had my eyes closed to the new modern version up until a few years ago, really because of that. And it wasn't until I was at another conference where someone was saying, no, you should give this a chance. This is truly scientifically based therapy that does work. And when I re-examined that, I saw that, yeah, it really does. And there are many, many studies now that show that this is that it works very well.
Who do you recommend these to? I mean, who are the best candidates for CRT lenses?
The best candidates
and maybe
are
the worst.
And the worst. Well, first off, the candidates that are the very best are myopes. Those are people who are nearsighted and have only a minimal to only a very, very low moderate amount of astigmatism. The amount of nearsightedness can go up to about 6 diopters, though. Diopters are a unit of measure of nearsightedness. The astigmatism could go up to maybe a diopter and a half of astigmatism, and that can be corrected. The age of the patient, the youngest I've done has been 6 years old, and the oldest person I've done has been in their 60s. So there's a very large age range that this can be done with. It does not work for people who, well, currently it does not work well for people who are farsighted. And farsightedness is also known as hyperopia. That's the technical term for it.
Where you have trouble reading, where you have trouble with close-ups.
Yeah, that farsightedness is for people or. People can be young and be farsighted, but yes, where it affects them mostly is close up. And there is research being done trying to come up with a way to have corneal reshaping or corneal refractive therapy change farsighted people. And there is some limited success that's been happening with that. But as yet, those people still are not the very best candidates.
So if a person only needs reading glasses, but their distance vision is good, this would not be what they would be interested. This would
exactly
be right.
Right
thing for them at this
yes,
time.
That would not. Those that patient would not be the best candidate for corneal refractive therapy.
Okay. And then when you talked about nearsightedness, you spoke it in technical terms. How would it? I always think of it as 20/40, 20/200.
Well, that's
what
a measure of visual
number?
Acuity. It's always unfortunately the terms that we have of nearsightedness and farsightedness are not as perfectly descriptive as would be ideal. A person, though, that is nearsighted is someone who can see close up without any real trouble, although they may have to hold it very close, depending on how nearsighted they are, but they cannot see at a distance. So that's a person who is nearsighted. A person who is farsighted may have trouble seeing at a distance, but they would have more trouble seeing close up. I hate to be confusing with that. If I had a chart, I could show exactly what I mean, but on the radio, it's not easily done. Farsightedness is often confused with another entity called presbyopia, and that is the situation or what occurs to people over the age of 40, where the lens inside the eye loses its flexibility, and so it no longer changes focus for people from distance to close. That is a different entity that's actually distinct from farsightedness. And while they also have trouble seeing close up, it's not the same as a person who's farsighted. I hope that helps.
Dr. Hutchinson, before we even talk anymore, I'd love for you to give your contact information in case there are people listening who live in San Diego, or if people who live elsewhere who have questions for you.
Okay, sure. My practice, the name of it is Pacific View Eye Care Center, and it's in Encinitas, California. The phone number for my office is 760-753-6336, and I do have a website. It's www.eyefinity, and that's eyefinity.com/Pacific View. My email address, too, if people would like that, is rah@abac.com.
Very good. Now, let's get back to talking about this because there's a lot of information here to cover. Is CRT permanent?
CRT is not permanent. And if a person discontinues or discontinues CRT, it'll take a few days to a week or so for their eyes to go back to just what it was. For many people, this is a good thing. Well, some people will look at LASIK surgery or as refractive surgery as good because it's permanent. Other people are worried about that permanence. You know, once you've made that jump, there's no going back. With CRT, if you decide that you don't like what you're doing, you can go back to what you had before by simply discontinuing wearing the lenses. So while it's not permanent, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
And how long does, when a person gets these contact lenses, how long does it take before they reach acuity in their vision?
Well, it depends on how much nearsightedness they start with. Someone who's only mildly nearsighted very likely will be seeing 20/20 the very first morning after removing the lenses and after having only worn the lenses one night. Someone who is more nearsighted, they may take a couple of days to actually, a few days to get to 20/20 vision before they're actually seeing as well as they plan on being able to see. During that interim time, what we do is use soft contact lenses with a lower power soft contact lens to sort of get them through that transition period between when they're quite nearsighted and the end product of the corneal refractive therapy.
And what about what you did with my daughter? Is that something that you can do pretty much with children, where you can correct their vision for distance, and then they
generally
and then
that's
they can
true.
Still read, most, though?
Most kids, most children have enough focusing power that when they are properly corrected for distance, they can still focus close up well enough. Sometimes we have to use some additional exercises to get them to be able to focus close up. So exercises that work on the muscles that turn the eyes in or that work on the focusing mechanism of the lens inside the eye. But in most cases, once they're corrected for distance properly, where they're not overcorrected, they should have no trouble seeing close up as well.
I know that was one of the great benefits for my daughter. And then for me, I also am able to be corrected for distance and see and read without glasses too, which I am so thrilled about. But you took a different tact with me, which you might want to talk about too.
Right, with
the monovision.
You're one of those people over 40, so means that the lens inside the eye is not focusing like it used to, and that's a normal aging change. Happens to everybody over 40. So what we've done for you is make it so that one eye is properly corrected for distance, and the other eye is purposefully undercorrected so that it can see close up. So, and that's, as you mentioned, it's called monovision. And most people react to that very well and end up being very happy that they can see at a distance and see close up and not need reading glasses.
And yet that's something that I would not want to do surgically.
Well, no, not...
I mean, I wouldn't want to... I would not want to have undercorrected one of my eyes surgically. You know, the one for distance, I could see doing that. But.
It's, Linda, many people still do that surgically and have and purposefully have one eye undercorrected. But that's what's nice about the corneal refractive therapy in that it's not permanent. If you end up deciding that, no, I don't think I want to do this anymore, I don't want to have one eye for distance and one eye for close, you can still change it with corneal refractive therapy, where with the surgery, once it's done, it is done.
For me personally, anytime I can avoid surgery, I do. But again, like you said, my husband did a surgery. He preferred that.
Mm-hmm.
But then he has to wear reading glasses now.
Well, he probably didn't have it set up to be monovision with the surgery. That is an option.
No, he didn't. Yeah, yeah. How much do these lenses cost?
Well, the procedure typically costs around $1,500. Anywhere between $1,000 and $2,000, or depending on your part of the country and the practitioner that you're going to see. With my office, the fee is $1,500, and we end up providing the patient with two sets of the retainer lenses with that. One set is a backup, because as we discussed, if you stop wearing the lenses, so if you were to damage a lens and not have a backup, your eye would go back to what it was. And so we make sure that the patients have a backup set. At the end of a year, then, the patient will switch around and make the backup set become their primary set and use the others as backups. At the end of the next year, the patient will need to replace that original set. And the reason they need to replace it is built over a year's time, enough buildup occurs on the lens that just doesn't come off any longer, that it can cause the lens to warp a little bit, not give the comfort and the correction that it was originally giving. So it needs to be replaced. And the replacement fee for the lenses themselves, once the patient has gone through the procedure, is somewhere usually around $150 a lens.
So that covers the cost aspect. Are they hard to care for?
No, I think they're pretty easy to care for. They need cleaning every day, but the cleansers are not hard to do. And then they're simply stored in a solution that disinfects the lens during the day, and a solution that's usually kind of a nice viscous solution. Special solution is used to put the lens in, so it has sort of a cushion effect when the lens is put on the eye.
Do you find that fewer of these contacts are lost than traditional contacts? Because I know with my children, it's just such a comfort. We started my son on them too now. I just know they're not going to get lost because you put them in at night and in the morning they're out, and there's just not too much room for error in that way.
You're exactly right. Absolutely. That's one of the really nice things about it is, particularly with younger children, the parents are in complete control of the contact lenses. They're not going out and about and into the world where they have a chance to lose them more readily. Or if the patient is having trouble removing the lens, the parent is there to help them. So the parent is in control of these lenses as they're done at home at night. And very few patients lose the lens.
And plus the children can do the water sports.
Absolutely.
That is just such a treat for me because I've always had, ever since I was a teenager myself, I could either, be blind in the water or, risk losing my contacts. And now I just don't have to worry about that anymore.
Well, here in Encinitas, we're lucky to have the ocean right next door. And it's nice to be able to go out into the surf and not have to worry about the contact lens that you might be wearing be lost.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of another, one of my patients was one who was a water polo player, and he couldn't wear his glasses, or he could not wear contact lenses into the pool. And this procedure worked perfectly for him for that.
And it keeps the children's eyesight from getting worse?
Studies are just now starting to show that it does, in fact, keep eyes from getting worse. So what that means is that if we start a child at age 10 who's maybe a one diopter mild, so just mildly nearsighted, and let's say that the patient does that until their early 20s, and maybe they decide they're going to have surgery then, well, if they were to stop doing the procedure, stop at the corneal refractive therapy in their early 20s, they would still just be a one diopter mild, where it's very possible otherwise that if they were not doing this therapy, that they could become much more nearsighted. And a number of patients that I have are kids whose parents are quite nearsighted. They're really concerned that their children are going to end up being quite nearsighted, and we're doing this procedure in an effort to keep that from happening.
And that was very significant for me, I know. I mean, I think a lot of parents are concerned about that, and it seems like a really wonderful thing. If your child's going to have contacts anyway, why not have them wear them at night instead of the daytime, and you just have so much less chance of problems in so many ways, and their eyesight is protected too.
Absolutely.
You mentioned something else that I was thinking my listeners might be concerned about. A lot of people are very squeamish about putting something in their eyes. And you probably have to multiply that by a factor of 10 if it's a child, I would think, or maybe not. What is your experience with children learning to put contacts in their eyes?
Well, actually, it's a very individual thing. Most people do have the built-in reflex against having something go into their eye. Some people that reflex is greater than in others, and you have to work at training them to inhibit that. But most people can learn to put that in the eye, and once they do it and discover that it's not so bad, it gets easier and easier. I've had many kids take to it just so easily because they haven't really, it's not been something that's been drummed into them as a real worry. Every now and again, I have a patient who does have a hard time getting the lens in, but almost always we can work at it slowly with them, and they'll get the ability down to putting the lens in their eye without having trouble.
My son was one of those people who had trouble, and it was pretty hairy there for the first two or three nights, and I started being worried, but then I brought him in. He had another kind of training session about how to do it, and kind of got a couple of tips that helped from a different person training him than the first person, and now it's not a problem at all. He just pops them in and goes to sleep at night and pops them out in the morning, and it's been very convenient.
Yes, excellent. Like I said, most people can learn to do that. Sometimes it's nice, and you were there. You're already doing it yourself. You can help the child as well, and so you don't have to worry about the child being out having to take the lens off when they're at school or something, because you'll be helping them do it.
How long have you been using this technology yourself? How long have you been fitting your patients with these contacts?
I've been using this technology about 3 years now. As I said earlier, I at first didn't believe that it actually worked. It took a little bit of convincing for me to believe that it did. The very first patient that I did this with was one of my assistants. And I had her wear the lenses actually during the day for a little while. I wanted to see what it looked like. When we took them off, she was 20/20, even after only a few hours of wear during the day. And I have to say, I was pretty amazed. Since then, I've had that experience a couple times, where even in training this one child, she had the lens on for an hour or so in the training of learning how to put it in and take it out. When she was driving home with her mother, she said, "Mom, I can see," and she was very happy about that. So I've been doing it about 3 years. I've got patients are probably in the hundreds that I have doing this now.
And what percentage would you say are happy about the contact?
It's a modality that doesn't work always for everyone, but it works for nearly everyone who's a proper candidate. I would say the dropout rate that I have is probably a couple of percent, a few percent, not much. Generally, people once they're fitted properly and seeing well, they like doing it.
Are the people with whom it doesn't work, are those people that just have trouble with the contact lens aspect of it, or is it something else?
Well, sometimes it's particularly with a higher myope, it's achieving the target correction, which is sometimes an issue. Again, most cases it's not, but depending on how the cornea is shaped and how the lid interacts with the lens and whatnot, the centration of the lens can be affected. And that's the key thing to this lens. It has to be just perfectly centered and stay that way at night. And for some people, it just doesn't do that. And there's things to do to try and make sure that it centers properly and make sure that we have it fitting right. But every once in a while, it doesn't work as well as you'd hope. And so there is some dropout rate, but it's really not very high.
Well, 98 to 99% is pretty good.
I think it's pretty good.
I just can't imagine any medical procedure where you'd get a better percentage of people being happy than that. I mean, that's very good.
It is, I think.
I was going to mention that, you know, with the monovision, which people may not be familiar with, maybe you want to talk a little bit more about that, because I know I was very surprised that it was instantaneous looking. I thought I was going to have to get used to it, but mm-hmm. The moment that I had it, I could read close up. My brain adjusted. Could you
Well, I would say that with that happening so quickly for you, you fall into a percentage of people that I think of as just ideal candidates for monovision. It's about 15% of the population, and for these people, it just seems normal and perfect right from the very beginning. So you have one eye for distance and one eye for close. Your brain immediately starts taking the information out of the information for close-up out of the near eye and information for distance out of the other eye, and it just works perfectly. Most people, though, I'd say 70%, feel that it's a little weird. And their reaction is that they can see far away and they can see close up, but something it feels like they could just wash it away and it'd be a little better. But they do it for a week, and they come back and they go, you know, I'm not really thinking about that anymore. All I notice is that I can see just fine at a distance and I can see fine close up. And if I think about it, I know it's strange, but mostly they're very happy. That leaves another 15% that it just doesn't work for, that their brain doesn't adapt to it. So an 85% chance of it working, I think, is pretty good also for monovision.
Yeah. And then if that doesn't work, then you can just adjust both eyes for distance and
wear reading glasses.
And
some people who are doing monovision also need to, sometimes they'll have particular tasks that the monovision is just not adequate for. If they're doing a lot of close reading or maybe driving at night, they might have to have some spectacles, some glasses to wear for those particular times that they're doing those tasks. For most people, that's not a great portion of their day.
Or for a lot of computer work.
A lot of computer work is another time when some people have to have some extra help with glasses. That's right.
Which I know you're an expert in, and maybe we should have another show about that sometime.
Be happy
about
to.
That. I just want to thank you very much, Dr. Hutchinson, for being on. Maybe we have a few seconds. Maybe you could give your contact information real quickly here.
Certainly. Again, my office is Pacific View Eye Care Center, and my name's R.Anthony Hutchinson. The phone number is 760-753-6336. And my website, www.ifinity.com/PacView.
Okay, well, I want to thank you very much. This is something new, and I really appreciate the opportunity to get this kind of information out to my listeners, because I wore contact lenses for 30, 40 years, and it just seemed like every week there was a little something where all of a sudden I'd be tearing up and frantically trying to get the contact out of my eye, and half the time I'd use saliva to get it back in again, and I know that I shouldn't have done that. And now I don't have to do that anymore. I have these contacts that leave my eyes completely clear and with nothing on them all day long. In my daily life, I told so many people about how great these contact lenses were, and nobody knew about them. And that's why I have this show, so that I can share this new technology, alternative methods of healing, the latest in nutrition, so that it'll make a difference in your life. And so that wraps up another show with me, Dr. Linda Hart, and The Heart of It. Thank you for listening. I hope that you'll join me again for more of The Heart of It.